Title: The Overpayment Rule and the Implied False Claims Theory. What You Don't Know Can Still Hurt You. Content: In 2010, the Affordable Care Act, ACA, enacted new rules governing overpayments made by the Medicare and Medicaid programs. Under these rules, providers have 60 days from the date that the overpayment has been identified to return the overpayment or face penalties and treble damages under the False Claims Act, FCA. As described below, recent regulations have clarified some of the issues surrounding the ACA obligation to refund overpayments, at least for overpayments under Medicare Parts A and B. But determining whether a provider has identified an overpayment and thus started the 60-day countdown can still be nuanced and complex. Diligent providers that have proactive and robust compliance and audit functions in place may find some comfort, since such providers are presumably able to respond quickly to credible information that there has been a potential overpayment, as required by the new regulations, and thereby have a reasonable period of time to conduct an investigation and quantify the amount of any overpayment before the 60-day clock begins to run. The new Part A and B regulations, however, do not address an important issue that remains unclear under the law: what types of non-compliance result in overpayments. Jurisprudence developed in the context of the FCA may be an important source of law for understanding this issue. If non-compliance with a particular requirement predicates liability under the FCA by rendering claims materially false, it is likely that payments received based on such claims would be overpayments that the claimant is obligated to report and return. Therefore, law defining the types of non-compliance that can predicate FCA liability may also speak to the types of non-compliance that can lead to an overpayment under the ACA. Courts have agreed that, under the FCA, claims can be false either because they contain factually false information on their face, or because a claimant falsely certifies to compliance with a statutory, regulatory, or contractual provision, false certification. Until recently, however, the Federal Circuit courts were split as to whether such a false certification must be express an explicit promise to comply with certain provisions or whether it may also be implied simply through the act of submitting a claim. Those courts that accepted this latter implied certification theory of FCA liability were further split into two camps. While some took a narrow approach that only a failure to adhere to a requirement that is expressly characterized as a condition of payment constitutes a false claim, others had held that a false claim can emanate from the failure to comply with a condition of participation in the applicable government program. Under this latter view, in submitting a claim to Medicare or Medicaid, the provider impliedly certified that it had complied with all regulatory requirements governing the delivery of that service, not only requirements that expressly stated that they were conditions of payment. On this theory, failure to comply with potentially any regulatory requirement relating to the service provided and being billed for could have led to false claim liability under the FCA and exposed the provider to civil penalties, treble damages, and CTAM liability. The U.S. Supreme Court recently resolved these disputes about the viability and scope of the implied certification theory in its decision in Universal Health Services, Incorporated v. United States and Commonwealth of Massachusetts ex rel. Julio Escobar and Carmen Correa. The court upheld the First Circuit's determination that implied certification is a viable theory of FCA liability, but adopted a novel analytical framework for determining what types of non-compliance can predicate liability. Rather than side with either of the two camps described above, the court held that FCA liability can be predicated on non-compliance with requirements that are not expressly characterized as conditions of payment, but nonetheless that not all non-compliance can predicate FCA liability. Rather, the court held that non-compliance can predicate FCA liability if the non-compliance renders the information contained in a claim for payment a half-truth, and the misrepresentation arising from the non-compliance is material to the government's decision to pay the